Following program contains strong language reflecting the experiences of those in the industry. Listener discretion is advised. This program features an acoustic version of the song Bleed by Dream Boy, sang by the lead singer, Ali Ryan.
But Nathan, will you be a nod when you actually want me to start? Because I was like, wait, do I go?
An article put out by the Irish Times reads that Irish female artists make up just 2% of most played songs on Irish radio in the past year. This report reveals that only one woman that makes up that 2% is alive. I interviewed three women involved in the media and entertainment industry to see why we should celebrate all Irish female artists and not just when it's too late.
My name is Vicky Martin. I am currently a radio presenter at Radio Nova. I am the first female host of the Friday Night Rock Show. I'm very proud of. You hear me ranting on about it quite often. And I'm also a musician. So I am a working musician for about, do I want to say 15, 20 years? Oh my God. Yes, that is. I'm very old. Been in the industry for a long time. Worked in hot press. Jack of all trades, master of none.
So I took some quotes from some articles that were written. So this is a direct quote from the Irish Times. This article was posted last year. Only 2% of the top 100 songs on Irish radio from June 1st, 2023 to June 1st, 2024 were performed by Irish women artists, and only one of them is alive. So this quote kind of points at the lack of modern living Irish women artists being played on the radio. Do you as a radio host feel there is a specific reason for this?
I'm not sure the reason behind this. I will tell you from my perspective, I get an opportunity in my show to feature female artists twice a year, and I feature them 100%. I think I'm the only show that plays 100% female voices for 3 hours twice a year. I'm not aware of any other shows that are 100% female focused, like Women in Music. I don't really understand the reasoning behind it. I know that fact is true from listening to the radio and from playing the radio. I suppose where I am in Nova, it's harder because there is very few Irish female rock voices in terms of commercially successful. And then, you know, we can dial it back and ask why. There is a lot of female rock vocalists in Ireland, but just haven't been as commercially successful as somebody like Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries, who we play all the time. But I don't know why that raises a question then as to why are these young powerhouses that I get EPKs in from all the time, why aren't they successful? With radio, I think they play the hits because they're familiar. People have a relationship with those songs, so they know it's shooting fish in a barrel. So if I play the Cranberries on my show, I will get a load of texts in. They love them, do you know? And I could play them all day, all night. But when I play a new song, sometimes it can be hit and miss. And I think that is a combination of the two things. I think it's a combination of, as an audience, people take a while to warm up to new songs. But I don't think it's an excuse for not playing new songs, but I do think we need to lean in to new music. Looking at artists such as CMAT, she went viral on social media, and now her gig in the Three Arena is sold out. So now we love her. Now we're emotionally committed to her. So you could play anything you want from CMAT now and people will love it. But I do think as radio people that we might need to be a little braver and lean in. Just play it. Just see what happens.
I have some questions around CMAT. I have a hot press article from her from 2023 and she kind of just says, quote, "It is fucking weird that I'm gobby, bitchy and outspoken, but a man would be the voice of a generation." So she clearly points out that there's kind of a double standard that stands within Irish music and culture. And as you said, she's kind of breaking through now. I've been a fan of her for a few years, but it's kind of clear that she's just kind of made waves everywhere. And how do you think radio stations kind of feel about her and her persona?
So that's worldwide. So I grew up late 80s, early 90s in Ireland, right? I'm loud. I'm what they consider loud, abrupt, aggressive, which when I was younger was a real problem. Be quiet, sit there, don't make, you know, blah, blah, blah. As I get older, I realise that's a strength, right? So society's slightly changing, but not a whole lot. So like somebody like CMAT, and then if you go back another few years, Lady Gaga gave an interview and she said, if I was a man sitting here grabbing my crotch, you would call me a rock star. Do you know? So that double standard, it is so glaringly obvious. It is still there for a woman of my age, a woman of your age. We have to fit into a certain box because otherwise we scare them. If we scare them, they're like, oh, what are we going to do with this one? Do you know what I mean? So CMAT, I think, describing herself as gobby, obviously they described her as that. But what happens then, once her talent breaks through, she's in the driver's seat. She'd be as gobby as she wants. There's nothing they can do about it. Do you know what I mean? So the double standard is there, and that's a gender thing. That is a real problem.
So one of the books I'm reading right now is by Linda Coogan Byrne.
Don't get me started. We're reading the same. So Linda's a friend of mine. Linda's epic, right? Linda terrifies me and I love her, right? She's brilliant, right? I actually, when I say a friend, we met online and we've been conversing. We just are the same person.
So she kind of says that the record labels have a sway over airplay. So what change do you think needs to happen in order to increase the amount of Irish artists? Do you think it's more on the record labels side that change needs to happen?
The hard thing to accept, I think, sometimes when you get to know all this stuff, right? So I've been doing this a long time. And when I was first in, I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. It's so magical, you know? And then you go, oh, there's a hierarchy, right? It's all a business. It's all about money. I know that sounds really callous. It's cold. But the people ultimately that can make you, they're looking for to make money, right? That's important to them, and rightly so, because if there's no money, there'd be no industry, you know. Yes, the record labels have a lot of say over who they put out, who they want played. There's a relationship with radio, TV, it's all this stuff. But again, I think what we're missing is somebody in the middle or a department in the middle that are responsible for saying, now hang on a minute, we need some new material, or we need to allocate certain times and spots for these new artists. Because, you know, as you said, if they don't hear it, if people don't hear it, how are they going to know if they like it? And in the case of female artists, there has to be a balance. And this excuse that there's not as many female as there is male, is that's bullshit. Because there is as many female artists out there that are as good as the male artists, but it's, are we getting that look in? And again, I do think we're in a swell of change, which I can see it coming. But unfortunately, it's just, it hasn't arrived fully yet. But I do think, but for me, I think there just needs to be an allocated position, and it has to be consistent, not drips and drabs. We need to have a place where these artists can be heard.
I had seen an article on Orla Gartland, and she isn't part of a record label. She's independent. And she moved to the UK, and she has a lot more exposure in the UK than she does in Ireland. And they had a statistic, and it said, Orla Gartland has been played 600 times on Irish radio in Ireland so far this year. I think this article was in April. Gavin James has been played 8,000 times. So that also brings up the question of having access to talent, like you mentioned.
And also the industry in Ireland, I learned this over time, like, you just have to accept the fact that Ireland's very small. It's a village, it's parochial, right? There isn't as much opportunity in Ireland. And it's a terrible thing to say. Sometimes you have to leave to become recognised in your home. And I think it was not Pierce Brosnan, one of those Irish actors years ago. And I remember he gave an interview and he said, unfortunately, the land we love the most, we have to leave.
It was Pierce Brosnan.
Brosnan. Because we need to go and be successful to come back and live here, you know? And I think that's very much the same, because it is different. The industry isn't as big, but if you go off to London, I worked in London for a little time. It's huge. It's daunting. It's frightening. But at the same time, London, and I've worked in New York as well, the feeling of anything is possible. And I don't think you get that in Ireland. And I know that's sad, but I think that's something we're not going to be able to change, because it's just too small. We're very powerful in the industry. We're very successful. But in a clicky, we have our artists. So if you kind of can't, or you can't push through that fourth wall. Now, some of them can, and they're lucky, and you got like Picture This and Gavin James and all that. But if you can't push through that fourth wall, then unfortunately, like most before, you might have to make that decision to go to a bigger industry. And that's all about the faith you have in yourself.
So we kind of talked about this before we started, but it's just my last question. Just kind of wrap it. Can you compare the kind of treatment of women in the industry from when you first started your career in the industry to how it is now? And does anything kind of stand out? And can you kind of predict anything for the future, maybe?
When I started, I think, in music, even before I was in the music industry, I was a singer years ago. I think I did my first gig when I was 14 in 1998 in a place called the Music Factory, which is now the Button Factory. Even then, pop stars, female artists, very hypersexualized. Do you know what I mean? You had to be girly, you had to be feminine, you had to be sexy. You couldn't have an opinion. Not about you didn't. You could not have an opinion. You were done for. Couldn't be mouthy. You couldn't be ballsy. You couldn't be any of that. You had to be a lady. Mm-hmm. Right? And that went on for quite some time. Now, I am the furthest thing from a fucking lady on the planet. I'm gobby, I'm mouthy, I'm a single mother. Like, I have to be strong and capable. But I'm like that anyway. It's not that I have to be. That's who I am, you know? So I didn't fit in to that mold. But what I have noticed going through my career as a singer and then in media and in various other incarnations, I have more and more started to being able to be myself and not apologise for it. So, and I notice that with other female people in the industry where we're not pretending to be like, oh my God, how are you? No, no, no. We're like, oh, fuck that shit. Like, no, I don't agree with that. That's not for me. We're allowed now to be a bit more masculine in our approach to work. You know, like in your home life, do whatever you want. But in our approach to work, like Linda Coogan, she's ballsy. Wouldn't cross her. You know what I mean? Like a couple of years ago, that'd really go against her, you know? But now I think that a new wave of feminism, which I love, I'm all over. And we've the younger generation to thank for that. Like, yeah, we blazed a trail, but the younger people just get it. They're just like, no, this is, I'm not going to accept this. Mm-hmm. Whereas we keep our mouth shut. I think that going forward, like, I would like to, there has to be, there's so much more change to be done. I mean, there needs to be more female artists. I mean, I think what's happening is the inferiority complex that men have towards women in any industry. It's like, automatically, I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, like, if I'm a drummer, I'm not going to be as good a drummer as you because you're a man. That has to go. You know what I mean? Like, and I see that all the time. Oh, she's a female bass. Oh, okay. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's everywhere. Construction, accountancy, legal, whatever you're doing. All of a sudden, just because you're female, it's like, oh, well, could we not get a man? And that's still there. I don't care what anyone says. They can disagree with me all they want. That is there. You know it's there. We know it's there. That has to go. We are so capable, we are so equal, better in some things, because like even with the current climate in the world, what did they say? You know, imagine a woman was running the world at the moment. I don't think we'd, I mean, look, I'm not saying it would be perfect, but I don't think it'd be as bad as it is, because we, yes, we're emotional. That's a good thing, because we're not clinical about it. We can see things from all angles, and that makes us dangerous when it comes to all industries, particularly media and particularly music. Mm-hmm. Music's emotional. So women can see that. Women know instantly when they hear a song, they go, that's going to be a hit because I felt something when I heard it. Whereas I think a man looks at it differently. And I'm not saying there's great men. I know loads of great men and I love them and that's helped me in my career and blah, blah, blah. But I do think there's still that because it's a woman, it's not as good. And I think that might just, I don't like to speculate, might be the reason why there's more men played than women, because I think there's a certain that is still there. It's very archaic. That's my opinion. Anybody would like to disagree with me? I'm wholeheartedly here to be disagreed with.
My name is Rebecca Fisher and I am an entertainment journalist for DMG Media Ireland, primarily extra.ie, and one of my main focuses is music and Irish music.
So to kind of start, what we've seen from the music industry so far this year, what has been your initial reaction to the Longitude 2025 lineup? Because last year the festival hosted two female headliners, whereas now the festival has amounted to only hosting one female artist overall, not even headliner, Hannah Lang.
I think I was disappointed, but I wasn't shocked. I've seen recently a lot of discourse around the lack of like airplay for female artists, lack of support for female artists, bookings on lineups, which I find so jarring, because I think there is no shortage of exemplary Irish female musicians, and they're not for lack of them trying. They're promoting themselves. Their songs are incredible. They're doing amazing. They deserve these lineups, but it is such a male-dominated industry, and those decision makers and those rooms where those decisions are being made are predominantly male, unfortunately.
I think you don't have to even pick people, but I feel like anyone can kind of just pick a handful of female artists off the top of their head. Doesn't really matter how into the music industry you are, that could easily just go into the lineup. So there's not really an excuse for it.
No,
I feel like
at all. And I think as well, people make the argument that Longitude is more of like a genre specific festival. So it's more rap, it's more hip hop, it's more R&B, as opposed to the likes of Electric Picnic or the likes of like All Together Now, where, you know, it's more of a variety. At the end of the day, we also have no shortage of women in the R&B and hip hop and rap scene in Ireland. I mean, Abbi Coulibaly, we have Shiv, we have Becky McNeese, we have the likes of Cubana, who's more R&B and neo-soul. We've got, you know, just a multitude, almost more than we have male rappers and R&B stars. And there's a lot more diversity and like sub-genre within, I think, the women in the industry and the women within that genre. But I deeply, deeply don't understand how that wasn't considered in 2025 when releasing a lineup and having a look at it and it being 99.9% male and going, cool, let's put that out.
How has your treatment been as a woman involved in the industry, whether that be from publication houses or people you've interviewed, or I'm also aware you're a singer as well, so as a performer as well? So it's kind of a lot, it's a broad question. So if you wanted to focus on publication houses or people you've interviewed or anything like that.
I think as with any industry that's like heavily male dominated, and I think media, more so print, tends to be quite male dominated, especially when you work in entertainment. While many of my colleagues and, you know, the women in my field, while many of my colleagues and like the people in my field would be women, a lot of women go into entertainment, a lot of women go into music. I'm at a lot of gigs, I'm working with a lot of promoters, I'm working with PR agencies, and a lot of those people tend to be men. And I tend to be at gigs where, you know, 80% of the audience tend to be men, the acts tend to be men. I'm in backstage in dressing rooms, and I think a lot of times my comfort levels aren't considered. Not to say that they're disregarded, but I think no one puts themselves in the shoes of a 20-something year old woman in this industry. They're like, yeah, you can come to a gig and you can make your own way home at 11 o'clock at night and then review it. And I'm like, guys, I've been filming the gig on my phone is about to die, you know. Just little things like that that I always worry about. Or I think, you know, when I work with a woman in the same position, how different it is and how much you're considered. And I think same with like fighting for promotions, fighting for just to have your voice heard really as well is a big thing. But I think I went into it with all of this knowledge. I went into it having been kind of mentored and tutored by women in the industry. And if you go in all guns blazing, you kind of can't backtrack. If that's how they see you from the get-go, and that's kind of what I did. But it isn't without its struggles, for sure. I think, you know, when you're interviewing a male musician who's the same age as you, you know, professionalism and lines can get blurred. And I have to be like, look, I am, might be your age, but I am a professional here to do a job. I know our job is quite fun and it's very unconventional. But yeah, there are times where I'm like, guys, this would be a lot easier if I was a guy. I also think a lot of people put, won't name names, I've had people make comments of like, you've gotten to this position or you got this job or you got this opportunity because you're a woman or because a man chose it and he probably just fancies you. And I was like, or I worked really hard. I think that's probably something a lot of women in the industry face as well. Interviewing a lot of female musicians, it is something that comes up predominantly. They're like, oh, you get booked, and all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, well, who on the team do you know very intimately? And it's like, no one. I've just grafted.
They just have to work twice as hard.
Yeah. And nobody tends to see that. And I think people I work with who, you know, come in, clock out, do the bare minimum, and then they're like running from premiere to concert to office, and we're on the same pay grade. And I would have to beg to get 6K, 7K more and just handed to them. But look, I think with more women in the industry speaking out and more, you know, transparency around things like pay and safety and opportunities, that we'll just advocate for each other and we won't have this issue going forward, and more women in position of power.
So if I'm right, you said you're from Galway?
I am from Galway, yes.
So I'm from Wexford, so we sort of have a thing in common of just not being from the city centre. So I moved up to Dublin for college. I'm not sure if you're the same, but I'm sure you can relate to the fact that there's obviously a stark contrast between how society functions in the city and back home. So do you think there is the same stark difference between how various counties absorb certain forms of media relating to music tastes or favouring specific artists?
I think definitely. I mean, I obviously, a few of my friends would still be back in Galway. Mm. Some have recently moved to Dublin. I've been here for about 6 years now. I moved up for drama school. And when I got here, I felt like there was an entire subculture of like music and acts that I was not aware of. And I would talk about people I'd seen playing in like local bars in Galway, in the Roisin Dubh and Munro's, and people would be like, who is that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are we, guys, we're a very small country. Mm-hmm. I think social media has changed that. I think people have more of a wider blanket now, they're able to push their music out to. But it was something I'd noticed absolutely in how people like engage and stuff, and the genres that are bigger. I think like the likes of the trad, the Kingfishers, the Anvils, mm-hmm. does better in Galway. And then I tell any of my friends about Khaki Kid and they're like, who is that? He's trending on TikTok. And they're like, is he? Mm. Never heard that before. So I think as well in Dublin, it is quite community based. Everyone knows everyone. The gigs are more accessible. You can go see someone live. You can see someone else opening for them. And that's how you'd be introduced to them. But you don't get that opportunity if you're, say, down the country. Or I know Galway has a city, but, you know, a lot of our towns and villages don't have that exposure, don't have that opportunity. And because a lot of these acts, you know, struggle to get pushed on, like, Spotify and streaming platforms, you might never discover them unless you are living in one of these major cities, which I think is such a ridiculous thing considering how tiny this country is. But I would love to see more Dublin-based acts doing, like, activations and gigs and mini festivals all over the country and not just our major hub. Mm-hmm. But that means promoters need to get involved, bookers need to get involved, venues need to get involved, and someone needs to give them some money. I think when people have these like really large bursts of popularity across the world and end up getting like picked up by labels, they're doing more interviews, I feel like it's so jarring. I feel like it's so, they haven't had the opportunity to have that gorgeous slow progression and mine themselves, mm-hmm. and learn how to navigate the industry. And that's how we burn people out and we lose great artists. I'm like looking at the Amble lads right now. They're mm-hmm. touring with Hozier. You know, they've got their own tour. And I'm just praying that they have good people on their team. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, you were school teachers, not last year. And now this is happening. And I'm just like, you know, it's great to have that trajectory, but is it sustainable? Mm-hmm. And I think the likes of Seema, who's been on the scene for so long, like, this doesn't faze her. This is never going to faze her. She'll take her time off if she needs to. She's done it the responsible and right way. And I'm just happy to see her get her flowers, honestly. Give her more.
So I'd actually gotten a statistic from the same book I was reading. And it said that Orla Gartland has received 600 plays from Irish Airwaves this year, whereas Gavin James has received 8,000 plays. And then I found a quote from RTE itself. For many Irish women, meaningful recognition only arrives once they've made noise elsewhere. So how do you feel about this statement as a woman who's made a successful career for herself in Ireland?
It really upsets me. It's true, though. It is true. I think not just for women. It obviously, like, there, it happens to most independent up-and-coming artists, but it is more prevalent among women, that they need to see you get your flowers elsewhere before we'll even consider promoting you. It has to be a BBC introducing before it's RTE rising, which is sad. And I don't understand it. I think it's laced with misogyny, obviously. But I also just think it's, again, that begrudging nature. It does happen to smaller male artists as well, just not at the same capacity. I think we pick 3 to 4 people who have great radio playable tracks. And then for some reason, we just champion that for about 3 years. And like, even I was talking to the likes of Picture This, and they've got new stuff coming out that they've kind of taken a step away, tried a new trajectory. And they were like, yeah, this might get played, but they'll probably just still play Take Your Hand. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, probably. And like Keen to Grow, he was like, yeah, they'll probably play the one song I've had for like the past 3 years, and anything new, doubt it, because it's safe. And it's just become a bit of this, like, we've got a playlist, nobody cares who listens to the radio anymore anyway. And so I think that's why we need the more like pirate community radio stations, community radio playlists, who can play the smaller acts and try and champion them. But I find it so, so sad. I find it like so begrudging that you need to be promoted and given your validity by someone else for Irish people to care about you. Like with Seema, I'm glad we picked up on her early on, but like now people being like, God, this is a great song. It's like, she's had about 12 great songs. Mm-hmm. She's got albums and albums full of great songs. And this is a great song, but it's not her best song. And it just, yeah, it really discourages me. What was it that someone said to me before? Oh, wait, was it Pillow Queens? I think it was Pillow Queens. They were saying that they had a new song coming out. They've been on the scene for so long. Such an incredible live act. They're such an incredible studio act. They're amazing. And so perfect for Irish radio. I don't know why they don't get picked up. They said they had a new song coming out. And I was like, oh, where is it premiering? And they were like, BBC Radio 1. It's like, oh, is it? And they're like, yep. We had to go abroad to get it to have its preview on radio. BBC Radio 1. And they were furious. And I was like, how does that feel for you? They were like, look, it's a bigger station. It's a bigger platform. We are very grateful to Radio 1. But they're like, God, wouldn't it be so nice? And wouldn't it mean so much more to be backed by where you come from? And I think people, for a lack of a better term, need to get their heads out of their arses when it comes to supporting Irish. Because, you know, we're all for support small Irish businesses, support like young entrepreneurs, do this. Support your local musician. Mm-hmm. Buy their gig tickets. Even if you don't go, pay for it. Like, give them a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. Show the venue that they can, you know, get ticket sales rolling. Go to a gig. Be a face in the crowd. Talk to them afterwards. Buy a bit of merch. Put a little bit of time and energy into them. They will represent us on such a beautiful scale, but nobody's doing it. Every time I hear someone being like, there's no good music in Ireland, I'm like, I'm going to send you 4 playlists that I have made with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs, and I dare you to come back to me and say that again to my face. I dare you, because we are brimming with talent. I just wish we had more faith. Love a bit of Sabrina Carpenter. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's crazy how the next Sabrina Carpenter is probably playing in a random bar in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And, like, people are just too stuck in their ways. I think they think if it's unsigned, unbacked, then it's not good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you realise how much of their own money people pump into stuff. You know, like, it's not for a lack of trying. There's an insane amount of effort there. And I don't think I've been to an Irish gig, like an independent Irish gig in a bar, where I've been disappointed. I've been to live stadium shows where I've been very disappointed because the act showed up 20 minutes late, cut the set list, played over a track that's pre-recorded and lip-synced. Mm-hmm. But you don't get that here. It's all live vocals. It's beautiful. It's effort and it's passion for what they do. And I love that.
I was having a conversation yesterday and it was kind of just, we were talking about my dissertation and they were kind of just like, oh, isn't radio a bit dead? Like, doesn't really matter that much. And I remember I got a statistic there from my research and it was like 3.7 million people tune in every single day to radio, and that's like 8% of the population. So radio does matter, and it matters who's being shown on the airwaves.
And it, I mean, it matters what time as well. Yeah. I think like playing someone's track at 2 a.m. isn't going to do anything for them. Getting their first radio play, prime time, get them when the kids are going to school in the morning, when they're getting picked up, when it's people are mostly listening to it in their car. But like, as well, I think stream their stuff. If you hear something on a radio and it's not an opportune time, go back and listen to it again. Put it on in your house and just completely blare it for hours on end, because like, this is how they see results. This is how they get booked for things. People look at your streaming, they look at your radio play, they look at this and they go, okay, well, this is someone who's going to bring the revenue in for me. And I think it's so tough when you don't know how to get that. I think I get reached out to so often from young artists being like, help. And I'm like, if I can't help you now, send me your stuff and I will give you some advice. But I wish there was like a little, you know, playlist where we could, or like a letter we could send to our team where we're like, please, please just do a you know, discovery show. And like the likes of like Beta De Silva is like, he's so good at that and it's incredible what he does. But I think we need more of that. When I go to carpets now and it's 80% women behind the rope getting, doing the interviews and getting to like actually see these celebrities and work with them, I'm delighted. And I'm like, there's no pushing and shoving, there's no hatred, it's just, wow, we're all here and there's about 2 men. Isn't that fabulous?
It's a lovely image.
It's a lovely image, and I long may she reign.
To the people that I see, but somehow they see just half of me.
I'm Ali. I'm the lead singer and songwriter for a band called Dream Boy. We're just like a shoegazy female-fronted band.
I basically got a lot of statistics and it was kind of from each radio station and how often they play female artists and collaborations and how diverse they all are. Radio 1 was one of the more diverse stations in the country. So how do you feel having your song being played on stations where statistics such as 3.6 million radio listeners a day are the most accurate ones to date.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I feel like sometimes radio gets like written off in this day and age because it's not the main way to reach people, but it definitely still reaches like a large audience. We don't always get like daytime radio play, but there are still some very like dedicated listeners to those stations. Like we've been track of the week for Dan Hegarty's show on 2FM. Mm-hmm. And like, I know he has kind of like those cult listeners who trust his opinions and stuff. So that's always really cool. It's kind of surreal the first time hearing your own voice like on a radio.
Mm-hmm. So I was also speaking to another friend who organizes events around Dublin for female non-binary artists. At one of their events that I attended, she was visibly upset because one of the staff from the venue was continuously rude to her. He was a male staff member. So do you think there's a certain attitude towards these type of events from clubs and venues around Dublin, or do you think it's more open to new music from female non-binary artists?
I think there's a lot of image behind it. Like mm-hmm. a venue wants to, or a promoter wants to be able to say that they're like, you know, that they're hosting these things and that they're giving a space for it. But it's one thing to host them and it's another thing to be accommodating to them. And sometimes, not sometimes, they definitely are treated differently and they almost shouldn't have to be like, oh, this is a female fronted or non-binary night, you know. And regardless of what show is being put on, like if the staff members are going to be rude and misogynistic, they're going to be rude and misogynistic. And as much as maybe the promoters that you're working with who are organizing the event won't be, you're still going to experience that. It's not, you can't really hold it to the person who's organizing that night to be able to control the staff
mm-hmm.
of a venue. But we played a really cool festival called We've Only Just Begun, which is all female acts, which was really cool because it's not marketed as that. Like on radio in their press releases, it doesn't mention once that that's what it is. But every act on the lineup is female fronted or non-binary. And it's cool because it gives that platform without getting maybe some of that kind of attitude of like, oh, it's a female thing, you mm-hmm. know. And it still does really well and it sells out every year. And it's a great platform for women in music without feeling like pointing it out when it maybe doesn't need to be, you mm-hmm. know. There's talent there. It doesn't matter.
And it's obviously C-Matt's song that kind of went viral and stuff. And I was like, no, like she has such other great music and now she's kind of being labeled as something that's being overplayed on the radio because yeah. they just won't play some of her older music. They're just going to play some bits that are just people recognize because they're just mm-hmm. like taste is kind of, it's shaped by exposure. So like people are being exposed to the same song. They're going to want to hear it again rather than hearing some of her newer music.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of hate online for C-Matt saying mm-hmm. she just has one song. I'm like, she has so much music out and she's so talented. And like myself and Lola, my bassist, we've been listening to C-Matt for years. Mm-hmm. We're such fans.
Yeah.
And it's so great to see her get that platform. But it's crazy how quick people are to hate mm-hmm. on that, like immediately, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's harder for your style of music, which is kind of like shoegaze bedroom pop, to reach airwaves that's sort of overloaded with like kind of pop music?
I think it's knowing your audience as well. Like shows like Dan Hegarty, his alternative show, it's just knowing who to reach out to. Even if you take like Nova, for example, you know, you're not going to just get pop music on there. So it's knowing your audience and who's interested. But I think you have to be aware as well. Like there's certain songs that are just going to do better in pitching to radio than others. You know, they have to be a certain length or be kind of hooky. But it's something that we're aware of. And as much as it's maybe not fully true to the genre, I think it's just if you're looking for radio play, you have to cater to that audience a bit. But I think there's a way to do it while staying kind of true and authentic to our sound, which is something we're working on. Yeah.
Played in London recently.
Yeah.
How did you find the treatment over there compared to here?
It's really nice, actually. It's always very welcoming. We've been surprised by like the crowds and stuff that we've played to. Sometimes we play to a fuller room in London than we would in Dublin. There's a really active music scene there and the venue, they've a lot more venues obviously, but people go to them because they know that they're a good venue regardless of the show, whereas I feel like here people come for a specific show, so it's nice you're kind of playing to a crowd of people who are interested in hearing new music, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've always had a really positive experience.
Been speaking to people, one of them was saying they kind of feel for people who kind of reach overnight stardom and stuff because mm-hmm. it's literally going from 0 to 100. And they haven't had time to prepare where there's artists like yourself and there's artists like C-Matt where they've kind of grown over the years. So they've had time to prepare and they know what to expect from the media and the industry and stuff like that. So it's interesting that you're kind of like going up and stuff like that, and it's really paying off.
Yeah, because I've been at this for about 2 years now, like properly managing the band, and I've learned so much in those 2 years. Like, if you had kind of given us some of the opportunities that we have this year, last year, like, we just wouldn't have been ready for them. So I think things come at the right time. And at the end of the day, if you think of any iconic band, like, they've been around for a long time. Like, the fact that we have for 2 years is such a short amount of time. Like, we are a baby band, and it doesn't feel like that when you're doing it, but there always is a lot more to learn.
These three voices reflect a time in the music industry where Irish female artists are getting celebrated more abroad than they are at home. If platforms were created to voice these issues and actually tackle them, then maybe there wouldn't need to be an influx of articles begging for equality and diversity among airwaves. If it takes record labels, event organisers and radio networks to make this change, then it is also up to us to raise as many voices and alarms as we can. Radio stations are slowly getting more progressive. It's just a case of, will the others follow suit?
I leave you one little thing which I found really funny, and I actually remember because the mascara rolled down my face when I got it. I did a show for International Women's Day on Radio Nova. It's a great show. It's 100% Irish. It was all over. So annoying. And I put up an Insta story. I'm not much of an Insta person, but apparently I have to do it. So I put it up, and 100%. And I got an inbox from a man, and he asked me if I was sexist. And I wrote back, duh, 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 what? And he was like, very sexist. 100% female voices on your show. And I said, well, it's not sexist the 99% of the time where I play only men. But I actually didn't even write it because I thought, you know what, no. But I laughed so hard because I thought, there you go. I'm sexist because I played a female show twice a year. And there is in Elijah problem. But I thought it was